Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the History Unplugged podcast, the unscripted show that celebrates unsung heroes, myth busts historical lies, and rediscovers the forgotten stories that changed our world. I'm your host, Scott Rank. Hi, everyone. Welcome to an in-between episode where I answer any question that you have about history. Today's question comes from Umberto Milanati. Take it away, Umberto.
Hello. I would like to know what it was like to study in the Pandedictarianate of Constantinople. Great show, by the way.
Okay, the Pandedictarian. That is a wonderful Greek word. What is it? Well, that is more commonly known as the Imperial University of Constantinople, which goes all the way back to 425 AD, founded by Theodosius II, which some people call the first university. I do not call it that for different reasons, which I will explain here. I'll describe the background of this, what this university's significance was, and what it was like to actually go there. The University of Constantinople was founded in 425, which is a huge period of transition between the Western Roman Empire and the Eastern Roman Empire. During this time, Theodosius II is emperor. His grandfather was Theodosius the Great, who ruled from 379 to 395. He made Christianity the official religion of the empire in 391 and outlawed paganism. He affirmed the Nicene Creed. He was the last emperor to rule both east and west, but he does away with a lot of the vestigial origins of Rome, such as outlawing the Olympic Games, dismissing the Oracle of Delphi, which had existed before the time of Alexander the Great. This is a period where Rome is Christianizing. The West is really diminishing, but you see the East stabilizing and even rising. Theodosius II, who rules from 408 to 450, rebuilt the Hagia Sophia after it burned, and he also built the Theodosian city walls, which I talked about in a previous podcast episode. Constantinople was growing in prestige and wealth, and it needed good, thick walls to prevent the different barbarian invasions that were flooding the West at this time, and also North Africa. So this is the context in which the University of Constantinople opens. Here's what Alexander Van Milligan says about its opening. It was built on what is now in Istanbul, the Turkish War Office. And in, oddly enough, in its design, according to descriptions of the building, it looked like an Islamic madrasa, an Islamic school, which shouldn't be too surprising because a lot of Islamic architecture took its cues from Byzantine architecture, the different domed shapes. The school had an open court. It was surrounded by classrooms on the level of the court. Some of the rooms were spacious halls, richly decorated and accommodating large audiences. The main studies of this university were grammar, rhetoric, and literature, both in Latin and in Greek. The Eastern Roman Empire, most people spoke Greek, and after a few centuries it would be exclusively Greek, but Latin still has an important function because East and West are still united in some ways. There were 13 professors for these studies in Latin and 15 in Greek. Only one philosophy professor was assigned, while the Department of Law was in charge of two professors. The charter of the university laid stress on the need of a separate classroom for each teacher, lest the differing classes disturb one another, mostly because there were a variety of languages going on which could confuse students in their ears. A candidate for a professor's chair was required to undergo an examination before the Senate, both as to his learning and his character. After 20 years' service, a professor was rewarded with the title of a Count of the Empire. Only the professors attached to the university were allowed to lecture in public, and they were not permitted to give private instruction. There were two functions of the founding of this university. First, to prepare young men for the civil service, which was the purpose of most government schools in the ancient and the medieval world. The second, and this is critical in the time of Theodosius II, to supersede the pagan schools of learning. The language of an inscription to it refers to the institution as being a glory to scholars, an ornament to the city, the hope of youth, weapons to virtue, and wealth to good. It's interesting that such a school is established in the 400s when institutions like that are falling apart in the West. Now, here's why the term university is a little bit tricky to use for this school. First of all, university as a name that appears in a school really doesn't show up till you have the University of Bologna in Italy. But also, university has an idea of a corporate charter, a corporation meaning that it is an institution that exists beyond the individuals who are there, and it has an identity that can perpetuate continually for centuries and centuries. A monastery can be a corporation. Universities are typically corporations. Oxford University has continuous existence for several centuries. But the University of Constantinople wasn't quite a university, so it's a bit of a misnomer to call it that, because it wasn't really one school. Yeah, it was founded in 425 by Theodosius, but it was refounded in different periods. For example, another University of Constantinople was established by Emperor Theophilus the Unfortunate in the 9th century. Leo the Mathematician was appointed its principal teacher. Photius, a great theologian and philosopher, joined the faculty, as did Cyril, the Apostle of the Slavs. In the 11th century, another University of Constantinople was founded. It also trained people for the civil administration and trained lawyers. So you have these different universities of Constantinople who have this name going around in the city of Constantinople, but it's not the same institution. The mathematical arts weren't represented at the original University of Constantinople, nor was the study of medicine. Otherwise, the recognized ancient disciplines were combined in a single institution, which lasted with periods of decline and temporary extinction until the capture of Constantinople in 1453. Some people call this school secular because it was distinct from the patriarchal school, which also dated from the 5th century. So the primary purpose wasn't theological. So overall, to answer your question, although it doesn't have a direct link to modern-day universities, it's not like people are walking around in their togas, complaining about the required humanities classes, and then going to the rock climbing wall. These different carved-out spaces and different classrooms for different subjects and creating an institution to prepare students for civil administration and to ultimately serve the state. This idea of higher education as a function of serving the state, you can find antecedents here that show up in the modern day university. Well, thank you so much for the question. If any of you would like to submit one to me, you can do so by going to historyunplugpodcast.com, and I'd be glad to answer anything that you can throw at me. Thanks for listening to the History Unplugged podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show to get your daily dose of all things history related, from ancient Greece to the Cold War. You can do that by going to historyonthenet.com/subscribe. Speaking of History on the Net, if you want to dive deeper, go to our site historyonthenet.com, and there you'll find blog posts, book reviews, and all of our other podcast episodes. Plus, don't forget to rate and review this podcast so we can bring you the best daily history content possible. We'll see you next time at the History Unplugged podcast. This episode is brought to you by Calitrin. Text the word UNPLUG to 30605, and I'll send you a link to a wonderful product that can help you finally succeed in shedding that extra weight. I took Calitrin for several weeks last year, and I felt great in several ways. I felt stronger, my workouts felt easier, I slept better, I was noticeably trimmer, there was no downside. Text the word UNPLUG to 30605 right now to see this week's special offer on Calitrin. Calitrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age.
Taking Calitrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calitrin has an 86% success rate with their 90-day supply, and this week, take advantage of my special offer. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free, plus free shipping. Ordering is easy. Just text the word UNPLUGGED to 30605, and I'll send you a link to the special offer. Again, text UNPLUGGED to 30605.
The history of the popes of Rome and Christianity reaches into nearly every aspect of history. In the History of the Papacy podcast, we step over the rope. We dive in to discover more about the people, events, and background that define the influence of the popes of Rome and church, not only on the West, but the world. To start listening now, go to ParthenonPodcast.com or search for History of the Papacy on your favorite podcast platform.